This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Monday, the 16th of April. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dylan Joel. Tonight on the show, we look at conversion therapy as we discuss it personally and politically after the news broke on the weekend that a branch of the Victorian Liberal Party has drafted a motion that called for state legislation to allow health practitioners to offer counselling out of same-sex attraction and or gender transitioning to patients who request it, leaving many concerned that gay conversion therapy would be legalised. It's important to note that early today, Victorian Liberal Party President Michael Kroger intervened to help stop the motion from being debated at the council meeting. And tonight we speak to Liberal MP Warren Ench, Karen from Parents of Gender Diverse Children, and senior lecturer at La Trobe University Timothy Jones as we discuss conversion therapy in Australia. Over the weekend, the news broke that a branch of the Victorian Liberal Party has drafted a motion that called for state legislation to allow health practitioners to offer counselling out of same-sex attraction or gender transitioning to patients who request it. It also called for laws ensuring parents and young people would be given full information about the psychological harms of social, medical, and surgical gender transitioning. Many are concerned that the motion advocates for the legalisation of the controversial and widely criticised practice of conversion therapy. The motion was meant to be put forward at an upcoming Liberal Party State Council meeting, but this morning, Victorian Liberal Party President Michael Kroger intervened to stop the motion from being debated at the council meeting. Rachel Taylor-Jones spoke to the federal member for Leichhardt in Queensland, Liberal MP Warren Ench, as the news of Kroger's intervention was breaking. Minister Ench is a long advocate for a long time, speaking up for our communities in the Liberal Party, and he didn't hold back when asked what he felt about this motion being put forward to his party.
In the first instance, I shake my head with absolute disbelief. I think to myself, what we need here is a liberal dose of education on a group of small-minded individuals that clearly are blind by their own ideology and have really no concept of reality. It's just, quite frankly, it's bloody stupid. And it reminds me of a saying that, you know, best to shut your mouth and say nothing and let people think you're stupid rather than to open your mouth and make such a profound statement as what they're making, which in fact lets people know that you are bloody stupid. It is a ridiculous concept. It is one that will be absolutely rejected. I've got no doubt at all. I suppose it's a reality. As the former Prime Minister Howard said, you know, we're a broad church. I suppose there are small elements around the place. Unfortunately, or fortunately in some ways, it's not restricted just to one political philosophy or the other. But in this particular case, unfortunately, they've made a decision. You know, what they're doing actually puts a liberal tag on it. But it does not in any way represent the view of the overwhelming majority of educated and thinking liberals.
You've been an advocate for the LGBTI community within the Liberal Party for a long time. What does it mean to you to see this very conservative faction making themselves heard within your party?
Well, first of all, I just sigh. I had a call, actually an email today from a very dear friend of mine, Kate, and Kate will know who I'm talking about. She's quite high profile, But she wanted to let me know that she's been commissioned to do a 20-minute speech with a 10-minute Q&A by the Department of Prime Minister in Cabinet for the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia on the 16th of May in their Woden offices in Canberra. The speech will be all about making transitions in our lives and how we can learn from them. And I thought to myself, I'm going to reach out to Kate. I'm going to say to her that maybe we need to be reaching out to this tiny little Victorian branch and suggest that maybe it's time for them to come along and sit down and listen, and then they can make some informed comments. It is disappointing that at this day and age that you have people there that have such a profound lack of understanding of these issues that they're prepared to make themselves look stupid by making these ridiculous statements.
On a broader scale, most groups within their own communities have diverse views. The LGBTI community is no exception there. Does this draft bill and sort of the beliefs and messages it contains, does that suggest to us that maybe as a nation we should be reconceiving of how we look at our two parties rather than seeing them as one on the right, one on the left, and each with their own message, see each party as having a multitude of messages within their own smaller factions?
Don't take, you know, the comments of a few, and I mean, the reality is you'd be well aware of it. This is a small group within a small branch in a Victorian electorate that have come up with a brain snap. Don't target us all with the same, you know, as liberals, with the same level of small mentality. And I think the same can be said across the political spectrum. If you promote a particular political philosophy for whatever party you may well believe in, but it doesn't mean to say that within that party, there are those that have a different view on things. And I mean, in this case here, you don't go out and vet every single member that signs up on the basis of their opinions on a whole broad range of social policy. They mostly come in because of the broader philosophy that each party engenders into you. But these things do come out from time to time. It's certainly not something that is exclusive to one party or the other. I think what is important here, though, rather than to sort of point the finger at the party per se, is how the party would reject this. If, for example, this motion was to be adopted at state council and become policy of the state and the Liberal Party, then you'd have some reason to be very, very critical and ask some questions. If, as I expect it will, be soundly rejected and be thrown out completely, then I think you can continue to have confidence in the process and in the party. And understand that, you know, in a democratic party, people are entitled to put up a view, irrespective of your position within that party. You're entitled to put up a motion. It then will be debated on the floor, and I think the strength of the motion will be determined by how it's received on the floor. And I suspect, in fact, I absolutely know that it will be soundly rejected, because that is not the Liberal Party that I belong to, anybody that was to accept in any way accept this sort of nonsense.
Absolutely. And we've just heard that the Victorian Liberals President Michael Kroger has actually just intervened. They're going to stop the motion from being debated on the floor. So,
can I just make a comment on this?
Please do, yes.
Rather than us now go out there and point the finger at these individuals that have put this up, can I suggest that as a community, we reach out to those individuals and invite them to sit down and listen to some stories that have a much better understanding of this, on these issues. Sit down and share their stories with them and explain biological and physiological facts that may help them and educate them, and to be able to change their position rather than them continuing to think that because, and I say thank you to Michael Kroger for doing that, it is common sense, and I think it's great that he's done it, but rather than them feel it some way or other that they have been robbed of an opportunity to get something out there, we may be able to reach out to them and give them some education and some facts on the reality of the situation. And it may well be that they realise that what they did was not the right thing to do. Can I just say to you, when you see these things happen, of course you're horrified in that. But at the end of the day, if we can reach out to these people, not vilify them, let's not attack them for their ignorance, but let's educate them, and then we congratulate them on their preparedness to listen and to actually change their view based on the facts. You know, we will be a better world for that. And if we can continue to do that, if they don't accept it, if they totally reject all of that, then at the end of the day, they will remain as a very, very minuscule portion of our population. But I think that we will get a lot more people understanding it and supportive of these issues if we adopt that tolerance. We don't have to be like them. We can be better.
That was Rachel Taylor-Jones with Federal Member for Leichhardt in Queensland, Liberal MP Warren Ench.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Over the weekend, when the news broke that a branch of the Victorian Liberal Party drafted a motion with language that allowed legal conversion therapy, many were concerned about what this would mean. Conversion therapy is an umbrella term used to discuss a whole range of therapeutic and religious attempts to change people's sexual orientation and gender identity. This morning, Victorian Liberal Party President Michael Kroger stopped the motion from being debated at the upcoming council meeting, which for many is a relief. But it doesn't stop the concern many have that the validity of their lives and the lives of their children and families would once again be up for debate. Rachel Taylor-Jones spoke to parents of gender-diverse children's spokeswoman, Karen, about what it would be like waking up and seeing the conversion therapy was an issue that was even a consideration in today's day and age.
It was just mind-blowing, to be honest. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I think, you know, all the positive steps that the world has taken, just to see something as ill-considered and conservative and harmful was just really upsetting and disturbing.
In a joint statement from parents of gender-diverse children and author of children's book The Gender Fairy, Jo Hurst, they write, "There is solid evidence, research and data that show that children do best when their gender is affirmed and supported by their families and community. This research and evidence is confirmed by the best doctors, psychologists and researchers from around the world. What we also know from research in this country is that children who are not supported and affirmed are at extreme risk of death by suicide, self-harm, homelessness, and poor mental health outcomes. With this in mind, it is deeply concerning that any government body or political party would even consider taking such a bold stand against world's best practice and medical advice. The world over, we have seen positive moves away from so-called conversion therapies. In light of this overwhelming body of evidence and advice, we are at a loss to understand what would motivate such a harmful and potentially damaging resolution."
Well, I think we're back to, you know, all the sorts of things that happened with the postal vote. Winding the clock back is pointless, and, you know, wonder what is behind these sorts of things. You know, I think we all know the reason why these things are harmful. Really, to me, I just can't help but wonder what's behind it. You know, what benefit is it to impose these binary rules when, you know, it's just about... I think it's needlessly pushing for an agenda that is not helpful and not really acknowledging that there is more to being human than falling in a very narrow definition of man or woman.
So, what does this mean? Was this story breaking in the press an opportunity to chop it off at the knees, or does this mean we have further to go? In the past 5 years, the dialogue in mainstream media surrounding the validity of people with diverse gender has taken huge strides. But when it comes to truly accepting that, are we taking one step forward and two steps back?
That's our biggest concern, is that, you know, the hard-won gains, the things that, you know, groups and individuals and society has fought for, can be undone and taken back decades by a couple of conservative politicians pushing an agenda that doesn't represent what is a reasonable sector of society, and it is really harmful.
There is a small fraction of society that still believe that conversion therapy is the right way forward, even though it is proven that this is not the case. As a spokesperson for parents of gender-diverse children, I asked Karen if this kind of opposition to transitioning and gender diversity is something that she or the organisation has experienced in our wider community, with institutions, medical professions or schools.
No, I don't think those views are reflected at all. You know, there's a small fringe part of society, and really it is a small fringe conservative faction of society that is pushing this, and they're really doing their best to dress it up as representative of a large proportion of society, but I don't believe it is. And in the professionals and organisations and wider community that we deal with, we hear concerns about these views, but we don't necessarily experience these views on the ground.
So how can we make sure that this is being heard by our broader communities so politicians can't make changes that further alienate the LGBTIQA+ communities?
What we've learned is that it's the small conversations that change people's minds. So for every person that reads an article or sees something that is potentially harmful, you know, if you write a letter to your local minister, to your local councillor, to your local whomever that's supposed to represent us and voice your views, tell people that this isn't right, look up the information. I mean, the true story, the true reality of what this type of stuff does to people is out there. And if we all start talking about how harmful this is and how non-representative these views are, then that can become a dominant conversation. There is a percentage of humans that identify and present and live their lives outside of their gender binary. And just like any other person, they deserve to be recognised and deserve to have the protections that legislation can give them, just like any other person. And if it means that it has to be defined in law, and fortunately already is, I don't believe that it is a step forward to change that. Trans and gender diverse young people and trans and gender diverse people as a group are really at risk of some pretty unpleasant outcomes if they're not supported and affirmed in society as well as in their families and by the professionals that should support them. And we know, and research shows, that if we start allowing these sorts of things, reparative therapies, conversion therapies, it puts people who are subjected to this further at risk of things they're already in a high-risk group for. And it just defies logic why you would further put people at risk for something which is driven by an agenda that most people find difficult to understand.
That was Rachel Tyler-Jones with Karen, a spokesperson for parents of gender-diverse children.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
When it comes to the conversations about the harm caused by conversion therapy, little research has been done before now in Australia. This means that our academics and politicians have to look to the results of research done overseas, especially in the UK or USA. Senior lecturer at La Trobe University, Timothy Jones, is hoping to change that. Tim is part of the team undertaking a pilot study into gay conversion therapy in Australia. Dean Arcuri spoke to Tim about his research, believed to be the first of its kind.
The conversion therapy is a bit of an umbrella term which is used to discuss a whole range of therapeutic attempts and religious attempts to change people's sexual orientation and gender identity. This can include Alcoholics Anonymous style group therapy. It can include one-on-one counselling with a counsellor. It can include exorcisms and spiritual interventions. And rarely these days, it can also include other types of medical interventions involving drugs, aversion therapy with electroshocks and various other methods as well. We are doing a pilot study which, as far as we're aware, is the first research into gay conversion practices in Australia. We've interviewed a number of people and have developed an overview of gay conversion activities and trans conversion activity in Australia for the last 40 years. My work is more broadly around religion and sexuality in secular modern societies like Australia. And I'm interested in the sort of tensions between the influence of religion on sexual politics and sexual cultures. And gay conversion therapy has been on my agenda for a while as one of those items which sits uncomfortably with society's broader values. And then a few years ago, a group of people who were identified as survivors of conversion therapy or ex-gay therapy approached me to do research on this project. And so we've been working with Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and the Human Rights Law Centre to try and get some information about how gay conversion therapy actually works in Australia.
For the full story, we'll still have to wait for his research to be published, but Tim was happy to discuss information surrounding his findings when exploring experiences of conversion therapy in Australia.
So we interviewed 16 people from most states and territories, and I was really surprised at a number of things in aspects of people's experiences of gay conversion therapy. Everyone remembered it or experienced it as harmful. It was particularly harmful, but some people engaged in it for 1 or 2 years and just thought, this isn't worth it, this isn't for me, it's not working. Some people kept trying to change their sexual and gender identities for 10, 20, 30 years and were deeply scarred by the experience. We found that it hasn't really gone away in Australia over that time period, but we found that it's gone underground, so lots of doesn't publicly advertise the services that it provides. But if you're in a conservative Protestant church, or indeed if you're in any other religious conservative group, and you go to your minister of religion and say, "I'm struggling with same-sex attraction," we would expect that you would probably be able to be referred to an ex-gay or ex-trans practitioner quite quickly. So it's still pretty pervasive around Australia.
We now know that the motion that was drafted in relation to conversion therapy will not be debated at the council meeting after it was shut down. But we asked him what he thought it means that something like this was drafted and put out there in the first place.
I mean, I think conservative religious groups in Australia just feel a bit under attack after the results of the marriage equality survey last year. It's interesting to see what's happening in their strategies for influencing public policy around sexuality. I mean, it was pleasing that Michael Kroger quashed the motion, but it's a bit of a wait and see for me at the moment to see how conservatives are able to take action on their values in the contemporary political arena. To give you an idea of the extent of the situation, we didn't really do any recruitment for this project. And we put a few notices up on Facebook, and someone in the gay press wrote an article, and we had about 50 people contact us to talk about their experiences within the space of a month. And we screened people out for their emotional capacity to do it. It's quite traumatic. Almost everyone cried and was quite upset when they were talking about their experiences. So we tried to screen out people who would be too distressed by going through the experiences. And some people set up meetings and then didn't turn up because as the time came closer, they realised they weren't able to talk about it as they thought they were. We had no trouble recruiting people. So we interviewed 16 to be representative of the scale of the problem. But more work is really needed to be done to guide more policy action in this area.
We look forward to talking with Tim further when his research is published regarding experiences of conversion therapy in Australia.
That was Dean Arcuri speaking to senior lecturer at La Trobe University, Timothy Jones, and we look forward to hearing more about his pilot study into gay conversion therapy in Australia in the coming months.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. And we think it's best to leave the final word on conversations regarding conversion therapy in tonight's show, that they come from Liberal MP from Leichhardt, Warren Ench.
I think to myself, what we need here is a liberal dose of education on a group of small-minded individuals that clearly are blind by their own ideology and have really no concept of reality. It's just, quite frankly, it's bloody stupid.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.